Today on Real Radio.
God is greater than our hearts, and He knows all things. Isn't that great? Have you ever blown it? Have you ever been a Jonah? Have you been a Jonah this week? Are you going to go be a Jonah? When you hear God speak a second time, you can be thankful that He's a God who is faithful and forgiving. Not only is Jonah thankful, but the Ninevites are thankful. And I love what that implies. Not only in this world today are the Gentiles thankful, but in an ever-increasing manner, and certainly during the Great Tribulation period, the Jews will become very thankful that God is faithful and forgiving.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Old Testament account of Jonah. We're looking at the first five verses of chapter 3. God has heard the prayer of the runaway prophet, which we read of in chapter 2, and the fish delivered Jonah on dry land. Now that God Almighty has gotten the attention of His prophet, the word of the Lord came to Jonah once again, as the text says. And so our teacher has quite appropriately called this study, The God Who Speaks Again. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
So this guy, he's walked 500 miles, he's got vomited out of the mouth of a fish, his skin is bleached pale by the bile and acids of that fish, his hair all gone, the acids have eaten protein off of his skin, there's no hair, no eyelashes, nothing. We know this from scientific evidence of those who have been swallowed by fish and by whales. And they've been extracted out. They're gross looking. So he's walking. Gets to the city. Starts to enter the limits. And what the Hebrew implies here is he came right to the city limit. Probably stopped at the line. Looked at it. This rotten, stinking city. Hate these people. And he begins to step into the city limits and begin to preach. He's a freak of a looking man, scary. And his message is, yet 40 days and Nineveh's perishing. It's over. It's done. Nineveh's massive in size and beautiful, by the way. He goes to another street, an intersection where there's a thoroughfare, bulk of the people. Yet 40 days and Nineveh is overthrown. Goes down a couple more blocks, stops at an intersection. People are starting to look at him. People are starting to talk. Probably people are beginning to follow. Did they know he was a Hebrew? We don't know this. He's certainly not only a foreigner, he looks very strange to them, unlike any other human they've ever seen. He's lighter complected in skin, not only because he's been bleached by the bile of a great fish, but he's also a Hebrew. They're lighter colored skin than those who would have been dwelling in the area of Iraq. He's got a different voice, different language. And he's speaking. So, step of obedience number one, Jonah begins to enter the city, a Jew in a Gentile city. That doesn't happen. But Jonah's there. And I bet he's thinking and saying, these people make me sick. Second step of obedience, he cries out. And I wonder what he's thinking. I'm sure. Okay, I'm going to cry out. And the word means loud. He is crying. And he's probably thinking, everyone's going to hear this. That's just great. They're going to hear it. Thus, God has him preaching. He's working against himself. But he's obedient. Third step of obedience, he said. And here comes, I bet Jonah's thinking, the preaching part that God preaches to people. So Jonah comes, and he comes crying out. He's in the city. He looks altogether strange and different. And his message is 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And this brings us to the doctrine of the wrath and the judgment of God. And I'm going to ask you, turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 in our teaching this morning. The wrath and judgment of God. Yes, I'm going to be reminded by you that such verses and such things should not be talked about. It causes a church not to grow, but to decrease. No, it causes a church to get healthy. Do we rejoice in God's judgment? No. But listen, before a person or a city or the Ninevites can be saved, they must first realize they are under the judgment of God. And the Bible says that all mankind is under the judgment of God. Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. This is the Bible. For the wrath of God is revealed. And the Greek means it is present tense, constantly being revealed from heaven against ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. That is, they withhold the going forth of God's word and God's will. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them. That is, God has revealed himself inside of them, in their conscience. For what God has shown it to them, verse 20, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even the little man running around in South America's jungles with the bone in his nose, it says here, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In other words, God reveals himself enough to people. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed beast and creeping things. Evolution in reverse. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness. That's a scary thing. God says, that's it. They won't listen. They will not listen. I wash my hands of them. This is the judgment of God. Don't think it's only in an earthquake or in a fiery judgment declaration of a prophet. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness. My goodness, what is that? In the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. In other words, women didn't desire men anymore. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use for a woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. That means internal judgment. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate or debased mind to do those things which are not right or fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness and covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They were whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. They were violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Jerry Springer's program. Soap operas. Disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those things who practice them. Oh, let's put that on TV. Let's do that. Let's show that. Is that not an indictment, not only upon Nineveh, but upon the world, upon our own community? Save your letters. I'm not going to read them. Read the Bible. Tremendous things. God's holy and God's just. But listen, the Bible also says in 2 Peter 3:9 that God loves his creation. The Bible says there that God's not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but God is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to everlasting life. And then the second point under this, that God is holy and just. Verse 4 teaches us that in his holiness and in his justice, God demands payment. And that the verdict against Nineveh is this, that it shall be overthrown. Verse 4. And this is, by the way, bringing us into the doctrine of atonement, believe it or not. Yes, God is holy and God is just, but because that's true, God has provided atonement because God is also a God of love. What I find interesting about this is that at this moment, God brings Nineveh to the end of its rope. People, listen up. The message is absolutely 40 days. Nineveh's over. But the Ninevites, listen to this, the Ninevites perhaps might have known something about the nature of the God of Israel. They may have heard rumors about his goodness. They certainly would have heard that God delivered them from Egypt. They would have known this. And Jonah was written quite late in Old Testament history. So they may have heard of the great exploits of Joshua and the like. 40 days. Somehow, we'll see it next week. Somehow, these pagan demonic worshipers began to believe, you know what, we got 40 days left. Instead of them saying, let's send it up for 40 days. Let's break out the brewskis and break out the dancing girls and break out the poker and, hey, let's go to, I don't know, let's go to Atlantic City. Let's go to Vegas. Let's go to Hollywood. They didn't do that. They didn't say, hey, let's live it up. Eat, drink, and be merry. So, because tomorrow's the 40th day. They didn't do that. What did they do? They threw themselves upon the mercy of God. God is holy. God is just. But they understood something. I wonder if we understand. They threw themselves down at his mercy and his forgiveness and his grace. What would you do with a message? 40 days and Nineveh perishes. Somebody, it apparently looks like the entire Ninevite city, began to cry out and say, let's seek God's face. Maybe he'll be gentle. Isn't that tremendous? It speaks volumes to me. What they're actually asking for is maybe God will find some way to take his holiness and his justice and apply it to something else other than our destruction. Maybe God will provide atonement. Friend, listen this morning. If I have babbled on and it makes no sense to you, hear this loud and clear. My sin, your sin, needs to be dealt with. Jesus Christ died on the cross to forgive us of our sins. You can't have your sins forgiven unless you go to God and cry out to him and have atonement applied. The benefits of atonement. Though Jesus died on the cross, it avails you nothing unless you say, God, apply that mercy to my life. Being religious doesn't count. It won't work. You've got to cry out to him. And if in your gross sin you may be thinking, he will never forgive me, then think of the Ninevites again. Throw yourself down at his feet. Which leads us to our third and final point this morning. Verse 5, the God who speaks is a God who's faithful and forgiving. Hey, let's pretend we're a bunch of Pentecostals. And I'm going to say, he's a God who is faithful and forgiving. And you say, like someone who's been forgiven a lot, say, amen. Okay, so let me back up. The God who speaks again is a God who is faithful and forgiving. Yeah. We're thankful that he's forgiving. Amen. We're thankful that he's faithful. We are so thankful. Amen. He is so faithful. Even when we're faithless, he's faithful still, the Bible says. Listen, the Bible says, okay, that's enough. We can keep going now. The Bible says that when our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts, and he knows all things. Isn't that great? Have you ever blown it? Have you ever been a Jonah? Have you been a Jonah this week? Are you going to go be a Jonah? When you hear God speak a second time, you can be thankful that he's a God who is faithful and forgiving. Not only is Jonah thankful, but the Ninevites are thankful. And I love what that implies. Not only in this world today are the Gentiles thankful, but in an ever-increasing manner, and certainly during the Great Tribulation period, the Jews will become very thankful that God is faithful and forgiving. It's an awesome, awesome God we have. So the people of Nineveh believed God. Can you take your pen? Very important thing, and I got to end very quickly. So the people of Nineveh, circle it, believed God. Circle or put in parentheses, believed God. I'll tell you what they did not do. They did not believe in God. It says believed God. Say, wait, aren't you saying one and the same thing? No, listen carefully. This is very important to point out. They believed God. That word here implies strongly that before they believed God, they came to believe in him. What's my point? This is the point. Many people today say that they believe in God, and they don't live like it, do they? They say, in fact, a Gallup poll stated that 94% of Americans believe in God. I wish the next question would have been, God who? Shirley MacLaine believes in God. She believes she's God. Linda Evans believes in God. She believes she's God. Sun Young Moon, he believes he's God. Mormonism teaches you can become a God. Everybody gets to become a God but Jesus. Everybody attacks his deity. Listen, God is one, and we're not that one. This is so very important. They believed God. It means because they believed in him, they believed everything he said. People say today, I believe in God, and they don't believe God. I believe in God, and then you show them the Bible. Do they obey it? No. Do they want to hear it? No. People sit in my office and say, well, I believe in God, but I'm not going to do that. No way. And I tell them point blank, don't ever tell another person again that you believe in God. I tell them to their face. What I love about the Ninevites, they believed God. What that tells me is that, listen, you better not leave this place ever and believe me, or believe Chuck Smith, or believe Charles Stanley, or believe Billy Graham, or believe you insert the name. Don't believe in a human name. God forbid, but people could leave a church and talk, oh, wasn't the pastor on today? Wasn't he convicting? Or wasn't he funny? Or wasn't he cute? Or what? That is horrific in the ears of God. In fact, God will remove those pastors. He will remove them from the scene, no matter who they might be. Believe God. Notice it does not say they believed Jonah. Didn't say that, does it? They believe God. Christian, do you believe in God or do you believe God? I'd rather have you believe God, because you can't believe God without first believing in God, but you can believe in God and miss heaven altogether. Well, the Ninevites weren't about to miss heaven. It was the best thing they'd ever heard. Jot these things down fast because we're out of time. Faithful and forgiving he is towards the humble. They proclaimed a fast and they put on sackcloth. They prayed. Verse 5 teaches us also that God was faithful and forgiving towards any man that will cry out to them. It says, verse 5, from the greatest to the least of them. Isn't that great? That God doesn't save the rich. only? I find that very comforting. Personally, the God who speaks again is the God who says to you and I this morning, I'm the God of second chances. I'm the God of third chances, fourth, fifth. In fact, I'll end with this, and I'm really ending. Peter, on a good day, he was feeling pretty spiritual. You know it's true. He's feeling pretty good. Spiritually, he's no doubt thinking he's filling out his robe pretty well. Says to Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother that sins against me? Seven times? He probably, seven times, huh? Looks over at to the disciples. Top that. I'm willing to forgive people seven times. Jesus says, Peter, not seven times, but 70 times seven. To the Jew, that's 490. I mean, to the Gentile too, it's math. But to the Jewish mind, 490 is a very important number. It's God's willingness to work and deal with his people in mercy, to bring them about to repentance, often through judgment, yes. 490. Jesus says, Peter, forgive your brother 490 times. Infinite amount, keep going. Aren't you glad that he's the God of the 491st chance? Who are you this morning? Oh, I just come to Calvary. I just come to church. I'm just going to sit in the back. I have sinned so greatly. I have erred so far from God. So did the prodigal son. Yeah, but if that prodigal son wandered away a second time, I bet you that father would. No, you can't say that. I think if that prodigal son wandered away 490 times, that father would have accepted him back. My friend, stop trying to make God into a big human. He's not a human. Thank God he's not a human. Do you need to be forgiven? Do you need to come back? You need to be restored? He's the God of the second chance. And for that, I'm grateful and thankful that he's a God who is holy and just, that he's a God who is merciful and gracious, a God who is faithful and forgiving.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a study called The God Who Speaks Again, it's a look at Jonah chapter 3. After God hears Jonah's prayer and delivers him, the Almighty gives his prophet the same commandment once again. We'll continue with this series on Monday's edition of Real Radio, so be sure and join us once again. Meanwhile, a reminder that this verse-by-verse journey through Jonah is available to you in an 11-CD set. For your gift of any amount to Real Radio, let me repeat that again. For your gift of any amount to Real Radio, we'll be glad to send you this series on Jonah. All of what you contribute goes toward the different costs associated with presenting to you this program Monday through Friday. Plus, it's all tax deductible. Whether you call, click, or write, just make sure you mention the title. In a word, Jonah. In fact, you can pay us a visit at realradioactive.org and read all about it under the banner Special Offer. That's www.realradioactive.org. If you'd like to give us a call, you can use our new toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. You may also write to us and send your donation to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Just be sure and mention the title of the CD series, Jonah. And of course, any of this contact information that you may have missed can easily be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.